LAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Trump administration releasing more than 250,000 pages of records related to the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., but still nothing new on Jeffrey Epstein, says ABC News Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
Now, the DOJ's request to release the Epstein grand jury testimony is still making its way through the courts, a process that could take months. Meanwhile, we've learned that this request will go before a federal judge who sparked fierce backlash from Republicans back in February when he limited DOJ's access to sensitive Treasury Department records.
Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he is interested in hearing himself from former Epstein confidant Ghislaine Maxwell, the only person besides Epstein ever charged with sex trafficking in the case. Hazy, hot, humid conditions from St. Louis down to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Feels like temperatures could be as high as 112 degrees today. By tomorrow, Chicago could see the hottest weather it's seen all year long. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Months after emerging victorious in the most expensive state Supreme Court race in American history, Justice-elect Susan Crawford is finally set to be sworn in. Crawford will officially take her seat on the court for a 10-year term on August 1st with a ceremony in the state Capitol Rotunda at 4:30 p.m. Her victory in the April election preserved a 4-3 liberal majority on the state's highest court. State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor has announced her candidacy for the 2026 election, which could further solidify the liberal majority. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin state legislature seeks to address a shortage in the number of school bus drivers across the state. According to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles, the number of bus drivers in the state has fallen by nearly 20% over the last 15 years. The legislation would make it easier for older drivers to keep their license by requiring drivers over 70 years old to retake their driver's test every 4 years instead of every 2 years. About a quarter of school bus drivers in the state are over 65 years old. The Northwest Wisconsin region has once again been hit with Canadian wildfire smoke, causing hazy skies and air quality issues as temperatures heat up. National Weather Service officials say the air quality should begin to improve as hot and humid weather reaches the region on Wednesday. While the hot and humid weather will improve the air quality, it will also threaten much of the state with an extreme heat watch. Northwest Wisconsin residents should plan to limit their time outdoors this week between the poor air quality and extreme heat in the forecast. Leadership Washburn County is now accepting applications for their 2025-2026 program. Anyone who works in the county and is interested in the professional and personal development program is welcome to apply. The application can be filled out online, and the organization will accept them until August 11th. Program participants will meet once per month from September to May to develop their leadership skills and work to address issues facing the region. The program will cover topics like local healthcare and economic issues taught by local community and business leaders. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public, 3 preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports on Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny. Scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dosser-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwab.
Wisconsin on Civic Media. You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north from Lake Wissota on this Tuesday morning, July 22nd, 8:06 the time right now. We've got Parker Olson producing this fine program down in Madison Studio A2. We've got Chad Holmes standing by from 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot reporting live from EAA Air Venture in Oshkosh, where we have chased her back into the tent for sound muffling purposes. It's amazing how when you get together thousands of planes and people, it gets a little noisy out there. And so back at the campground, things are a little more quiet.
They are. All the volunteers and people have gone inside now, and now I get to sit here in peace and quiet in my hot tent. It's getting hot in here.
It is, aren't you? You got the one fan that you said is...
Yep. Is here's the good old fan. That's... The trusty old solar power fan. The only air moving in here at the moment. Got the windows open, trying to stay cool, but, you know, it's a beautiful day here. The sun is shining awesome in Oshkosh, but I know a lot of the state is pretty cloudy out there this morning. Temperatures right now 63 degrees to about 73 degrees statewide. Winds aren't moving too much either. We've got that warm front starting to push on in. We do have a small chance for a few spotty sprinkles that could pop up later this afternoon far, far northwest in the state. Otherwise, we're just going to get warm and muggy today. The dew point's climbing into the 70s alongside temperatures going to the mid-80s statewide to near 90 degrees far west in the state. And it's just going to be feeling very sticky, oppressive out there, and only getting worse as we go through to tomorrow. An extreme heat warning is going to go out tomorrow starting at 10 a.m. through Thursday, 7 p.m., because it's going to be feeling like triple digits. Of course, temperatures are going to climb into the 90s, dew point still in the 70s, so it is going to be very hot and sticky as we go through the next few days. And that front's going to spark some strong to severe storms potentially, too. We've got a slight risk throughout the state starting off tomorrow and kind of moving its way through. I'd say 5 a.m. expect some storms to start to spark tomorrow. And then by 8 a.m., it looks like they're going to hit me in Oshkosh. And of course, we are still looking at more sparking up behind that tomorrow night, and then waves as we go into the evening as well. So some active weather headed our way. Of course, strong winds, hail, and tornadoes are possible too. But not today. Today's still decent. We're just building the heat today.
Good. Now, we talked last hour about what you did yesterday, walking around, seeing things, the Goodyear blimp and other sights. So now you're going into today. Do you make a plan? Because I looked at the schedule. It is ambitious. There's a lot going on at any given time. So do you go through with kind of a list of things that you want to hit, or are you just completely freewheeling?
So over the years, I have learned to pick one thing a day that you want to do and just make that your priority, and then everything else will fall into place. If you've got one thing, you'll accomplish it. So my one thing today is going to be warbirds. I'm going to be headed over to the warbird section to see what they're doing. I know that they got the B-29s back again, and it's rare to see them, so I'm pretty excited for that and see what they have going on there. They reenactments and awesome, cool-looking planes. And then I think tomorrow I'm going to go to the aerobatics. So all the upside-down, loop-de-loopy guys flying around, see what they're up to.
All right. And from Rob in Tigerton, a little advice. Drink plenty of water. He says, I got Greg in my head now when I'm mowing. See, and she's got the water bottle. She is ready to go. I'm assuming you're sitting cross-legged in your tent there in Oshkosh, which is, I mean, I'm just kind of jealous as somebody who's now officially too old to sit cross-legged on the floor the way that other people can. So much less get in the tent. So Tom and Jackson on the text line telling you to be safe as well today. But, you know, just enjoy the day.
Thank you. Thank you so much, you guys. You're the best.
All right. We'll talk to you a little later. Thanks, Brittany.
All right.
All right. Chad Holmes joins us as well from Wausau. Chad, if I might start going back to the comment sections here. And some folks, I don't put it up on screen or share names. Some comments just deserve a quick response. And this one from our last segment about the increase in measles cases, the increase in tick-borne illnesses. The comment says, I'm 71. Any reason why I would care about ticks and kids getting measles? And, sir, this show is not here to teach you to care. If you don't care by now about kids getting measles or a changing climate or whatever, this might not be the show for you. We're here specifically for people who care.
I'm gonna be Santa Claus here this morning.
Oh,
because I'm gonna be nice to that guy.
Okay,
I'm gonna give him an article that he'll probably just love reading.
All right.
Because I'm going to make him feel good this morning, because if this guy wants to have somebody tell him things that this guy wants to hear, go to wasapilotsandreview.com and listen and read Tom Tiffany's letter to the editor from yesterday.
Oh, no.
Because this guy probably say, boy, that Tom is telling me all the things I really want to hear. And this world is perfect because people like Tom Tiffany are doing the right things. Actually, I think it's similar here. It's like this gentleman obviously doesn't give a darn about anything outside of the four walls of his house. And I think for the most part, even those that disagree with us politically, they do care. And there can be disagreements on maybe what the best path forward is. And I know there are disagreements. In fact, on Saturday, I had an event. And it was for a local group that provides help for families in our area that are battling cancer. And this is it's very interesting because I really like what they're doing in terms of there are other groups that are raising money to try to find the cure. But this group is actually taking care of people that are in the midst of it right now, especially kids, being able to send them off to a camp. And I had a discussion with one of the gentlemen involved in this group on Saturday. I didn't want to be honest with you on Saturday. I don't want to go deep into some of these conversations, but he starts sat down and starts talking about how wishes there were no taxes at all, that everybody should just take care of everybody else, that would be better off if we were, you know, just basically had no government. And boy, and I'm thinking, I really don't want to get into this on a Saturday morning, but I got into it and I gave my point of view that, you know, number one, it's a self-fulfilled prophecy when it comes to those on the right, when it comes to government, and the best government being no government, because you run on government being bad. When you get in, of course, you're going to, incentive is there to be good government? Because they say it's all bad. And right. Then they got into the discussion of the Gilded Age, and I was drained by the end of it, but I don't know where I'm going with this.
I tell you what,
That guy kind of just got me going on that.
I had such an interesting conversation yesterday with somebody who was here to work on one of our appliances. So I had this appliance service tech in, and he's hearing me, and then we get to talking afterwards, and he, like many folks up here, describes himself as a conservative. He listens to a lot of talk radio throughout the course of the day. But he is increasingly turned off by the extremism of the far right talkers. And as I held, as I made my points with him, as I've done countless times over the years, And talking to people who are, you know, center right to my degree of being center left, and we agree that there's so much more of us in the center. We're turned off by extreme voices, by my way or the highway, and we're looking for ways to work together. And by the time all said and done, he was like, I wish I would have had a chance to vote for you back when you were in the legislature and all that. And again, it sounds good in theory, but you have to have these conversations as difficult as they are. And I wasn't sure I wanted to get into this conversation, but, you know, people do genuinely want to express themselves without being told, you know, you're wrong, you're dumb. But instead, have you thought of it this way? And that's the way we're going to move forward, you know, in this country is having to have, you know, one conversation at a time. Now, I'm not saying it can overcome $1 billion worth of political ads.
Right.
But you got to start somewhere.
And I think the bottom line point to be made in this is I disagreed completely with this gentleman in terms of that conversation when it came to his viewpoint on what government should or should not be, mm-hmm. and the role of government and the role of taxes and the like. But at the same time, this is a gentleman that's actually putting up. You know, it's either put up or shut up.
Yeah.
Well, this guy's putting up. He is actually out there working to provide help to families with cancer. So I have the ultimate respect there. And having these discussions with somebody like that, who I know has his heart in the right place, but yet is truly a believer that no government is the best government. And frankly, I think you probably had a better grasp of the conversation than I did, because I get too overly emotional at times, yeah, with some of these conversations. But I think the bottom line point is, man, I mean, you know, if I was to say, well, this guy, you know, believes in no government and no taxes, my first thought, well, this is a very selfish person, and this guy is not a selfish person. So right. There are so many complexities when it comes to the conversations and the issues at hand, and the point that we stand at, I guess, as citizens in our democracy in 2025.
Well, yes, and it's very clear that it's important where people get their information. I know that the gentleman I was talking to yesterday, you know, said a couple of things where I was like, well, if I were in more of a debate frame of mind, I would call things up and go, it's not exactly like that. It's more like this. But at the time, it was just better to listen and to say, okay, yeah, I'm hearing what you're saying. And when the time is right, maybe we'll carry that conversation a little bit further. But I am reminded of yesterday's conversation about primary elections. And we're going to visit that topic again with Dan Schaefer in just under 20 minutes here. That there are some folks that will do anything to avoid primaries, Democrats and Republicans alike, that they're bad. And that, of course, gets other people very flustered. And I tell you, by the time that Kristen Lierley and I got done having that conversation yesterday, we're pretty sure we cheesed off, you know, most of our friends in Democratic circles in one way or another, because mm-hmm. they're both right and they're both wrong in various circumstances. And you just got to, again, the larger point being, you got to have the conversations about this on a case by case basis, whether it's should there be a primary versus should we raise the minimum wage versus, hey, you're helping these folks with cancer, but maybe we could have a system where people don't go bankrupt if they have cancer. A crazy idea. I'm going to talk about it in the next segment with the Affordable Care Act premiums going up, but maybe we need to fix the entire system so we don't need to have so much charity care going on out there.
No, that's exactly right. I mean, it's complex. People have to think. And I think, you know, having the conversation, I heard your conversation. There were points in your conversation yesterday where I was cheesed off on it. I mean, because when you start talking about, again, Rebecca Cook, my first thought comes that dumb ad where she's standing in the middle of the road saying pox on both your houses.
Yes.
And I mean, that really bothered you.
I remember that. Yep.
And I know. And that is the honest truth. And mm-hmm. so it's like, I don't want to clear the primary over there for that. So, but at the same time, there were so many good points involved in it as well. So mm-hmm. it's like, there's so much to it. And
there's so much to it. And again, one conversation at a time. Don't tune out. It's the people who tune out entirely. Yes. Yeah. that concern me most of all, because then, I mean, you're susceptible to almost anything out there. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO and Wausau. Catch him in Wausau for the local updates and, of course, across the Civic Media app and on the website as well. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. All right. Again, when we come back, some of you have a local break. And then later on, Dan Schaefer in our next half hour from the recombobulation area here live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Amory Chevrolet makes the car buying process simple and painless. Whether you're looking to upgrade to something bigger because of your growing family, or you want the adrenaline and want the rush of a two-door sports car for a weekend getaway at the lake, Amory Chevrolet has something for everyone. Stop into their modern showroom today, and any one of their friendly staff will be happy to assist you in your car buying journey. Located along Highway 46 on Amory's south side, Amory Chevrolet is here when you need them.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
If you missed it last night with the Brewers out on the West Coast, they were winners 6-0 over Seattle, meaning they're now at an 11-game winning streak. Brandon Woodruff, in just his third start of the season, after missing all of last year, went 6 innings through only 62 pitches, walked nobody, gave up just 2 singles, and your first-place Milwaukee Brewers were 6-0 winners. It was a pitcher's duel for the first few innings. Seattle's George Kirby carried a no-hitter into the sixth, but then the Brewers' bats came alive, 4 runs scored in that inning. And so the Brewers are one victory away from George Webb Restaurants having to dole out some burgers, and 2 victories away from tying the Twins for the longest streak in the majors this season, because Minnesota won 13 straight back in May. So we are now 100 games into the season. The Brewers have won 60-40, first time in team history they've won their first, they've hit 60 wins in their first 100 games. And again, with a different roster than they had last time around. No Willie Adames, no Corbin Burns, no Devin Williams. But they do have some new faces, like Jacob Mizorowski, and he will be pitching tonight for the Brewers at Seattle. Pregame begins at 8:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Then the Brewers will play again in Seattle tomorrow afternoon, pregame starting at 2:05. Thursday, they're off. They come home for a weekend series against the Florida Marlins, and then the Chicago Cubs come to town next week starting Monday. The Brewers back alone in first place over the Cubs for the first time since mid-April, basically. The Trump administration, the election of Donald Trump has a lot of significance. Again, a lot of things that folks warned were coming, that a group of people hostile to the Affordable Care Act are going to make sure that it's not as affordable. And that's exactly what is happening now, as health insurance companies say that their premiums will be going way up next year for people who buy their insurance on the Affordable Care Act marketplace. An analysis from KFF, formerly known as the Kaiser Family Foundation, showed that the average person who buys Affordable Care Act insurance will be paying 75% more for their premium. And, of course, a big reason for that would be the reduction in the subsidies and the enhanced subsidies that came during the pandemic that helped make health insurance more affordable. With Republicans controlling Congress and the Trump administration wanting those subsidies to go away, as one example, if someone is paying $60 a month for their health insurance this year, it's going to be more like $105 a month next year. And as National Public Radio reports, people who are generally healthy might well decide that the higher premium is not worth it. They will go without health insurance. And then they're going to get sick or injured. With that many more people, an estimated 4 million more people without health insurance, it's going to lead to higher bills for them. Or if they can't pay it, it's going to lead to higher premiums for all the rest of us because there will be more uncompensated care. And as more healthy people opt out of the market, the insurance pool will be left with those who cost insurance companies more, people who can't afford to go without health insurance, and so their premiums will go up again. And as much as Republicans have been crowing about this, and now they're of course referring to this as, well, this is just the unsustainable skyrocketing cost of Obamacare, according to Senator Bill Cassidy, Republican of Louisiana. Well, yeah, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you attack the Affordable Care Act and make it less affordable, it makes it easy for you to say, gosh, look how expensive Obamacare is now. Yeah, because of you. To which I again have to remind people, and I'm never going to stop reminding people, the Affordable Care Act, derided by Republicans as Obamacare, is a Republican idea. It was created by a Republican think tank that did not want single-payer and or government-run health insurance. And so the idea was to continue using the private marketplace, but just help people afford private insurance. That's all the Affordable Care Act is at its heart, is, again, pooling our resources to help everybody have health insurance because we all save when we're all covered, or we all pay when more Americans aren't covered. It is actually that simple, and that's where the Republican idea came from and where the Obama administration said, okay, we'll try that at least as a start, and we can always work to improve it later. We can add a public option, for example. Have something like Medicare for All or Medicaid for All that covers Americans and have them compete. If the private sector of health insurance thinks it's so good, they shouldn't be afraid of competition. I mean, isn't that what we hear about public schools all the time, is that they shouldn't be afraid of a little competition? But thanks to the late Senator Joe Lieberman, who withheld his vote, Democrats had to pull out the public option, so there is not one in the Affordable Care Act. And so it's all about these private companies, and if they're not getting premium subsidies from the federal government, of course they're going to jack up their rates. So once again, we are living that whole lesson of those who forget the past are condemned to repeat it. And so we are about to repeat the cycle of higher premiums and people deciding to go without insurance and then ending up with big medical bills and then ending up with more medical debt and more medical bankruptcies and more uncompensated care, which is going to put more hospitals and clinics out of business, and it's going to raise premiums for all the rest of us. That ain't doom and gloom, folks. That's exactly what people tried to tell voters last year and whatever the result last November, they chose the way they did, and this is what's going to happen going forward, as we're now seeing from these new estimates on what's going to happen with health insurance premiums on the Affordable Care Act marketplace coming up next year. It's a little quiet out there in Wisconsin politics, but it won't be for long. Somebody's going to make an announcement, and things are going to move real fast. We're going to talk to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area coming up next here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Aviation Week in Wisconsin in honor of the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Venture event in Oshkosh. EAA Air Venture is one of the world's largest air shows and draws hundreds of thousands of people from across the state and greater Midwest region. Officials say around 686,000 people attended Air Venture in 2024, bringing a significant economic impact to the region. The yearly event features thousands of aircrafts, including aerobatic performances, pyrotechnics, and more. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing safety tips for kids riding ATVs and UTVs. DNR officials say there have already been 21 fatal crashes this year, most of which involved riders who were not wearing a helmet or seatbelt. They're reminding younger riders that helmets are required for anyone under 18 years old, and riders under 16 years old must operate age-appropriate vehicles. They're also reminding anyone born in 1988 or later that they are required to complete an ATV safety certification course before operating alone. The Burnett County Sheriff's Department says a 10-year-old girl was killed after being hit by a vehicle in Wood River Township. According to a press release, the 10-year-old was a pedestrian in the Burnett Dairy Cooperative parking lot when she was struck by a vehicle being driven by an 85-year-old Grantsburg man. She was airlifted to a Twin Cities hospital following the crash, where she was pronounced deceased at the hospital. The circumstances of the crash remain under investigation, but law enforcement authorities say it appears to be accidental. The criminal cases against a pair of Cumberland residents accused of delivering methamphetamine during a drug sting will go to trial this fall. 39-year-old Nicholas Schick and 35-year-old Amber Hirsch were both charged with felony delivery of meth as party to a crime in Barron County Circuit Court in relation to the drug sting. Both entered not guilty pleas to the charges, and jury trials for both were scheduled for November 3rd. If convicted, Schick and Hirsch are facing up to 12.5 years in prison and fines of up to $25,000. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a whodunit that takes place in a beautiful setting, here's one of Pete's picks that will fit the bill. Untamed stars Aussie actors Eric Bana and Sam Neill and is set in Yosemite National Park. Bana plays a federal agent who oversees the park alongside state park rangers led by Neill. The first scene, which involves two rock climbers and a dead body, will knock your socks off. Bana's character Kyle Turner tracks a killer while dealing with his own demons. Untamed dropped July 17th on Netflix, where all six episodes are available to stream. Wes Anderson fans, listen up, yo. His latest effort, The Phoenician Scheme, will be available to stream later this week. Deadline.com has announced the film will drop on Peacock Friday, July 25th. The film by the director of Rushmore and Bottle Rocket is certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes and stars Benicio del Toro, Tom Hanks, Michael Cera, and Scarlett Johansson. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly to mostly cloudy with a chance of isolated thunderstorms this afternoon into this evening. It's going to be muggy today with a high near 90 and a heat index near 100. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, scattered thunderstorms tomorrow night. It's going to be hot and humid tomorrow with a high near 94. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 68.
Matt and Air on Air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin.
I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, our road companion from last week and our friend and colleague here at Civic Media, Todd Alba, will be here to break down all the news. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Did you know the Recombobulation Area is a 19-time Milwaukee Press Club award-winning opinion column and online publication founded by longtime Milwaukee journalist Dan Schaefer, and that the Recombobulation Area is now part of Civic Media? If you didn't, well, then you must be new to these Tuesday visits that we do with Dan Schaefer from the aforementioned Recombobulation Area. Get it at therecombobulationarea.news. Dan Schaefer, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Kreitlow. Always wonderful to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
What are your impressions of the Brewers hitting 11? At what point do you go stand outside a George Webb hamburger restaurant and say, gimme, gimme, gimme?
Well, we got an exciting day for our Brewers here today. We've got a Mizorowski start and the chance to go 12 in a row here. So I am going to absolutely be watching that one and be ready to head right over to my neighborhood, George Webb's, as soon as the Brewers win this one.
Did you take advantage of either the other two times in our recent lifetimes that they did the hamburger giveaway?
I did in, 2018?
2018.
Right, okay. Toward the end of the season there in 2018. So, I was able to take advantage of that one. Brought my daughter. We got some cheeseburgers. It was a good time.
It does beg the question, maybe somebody already did it already, how much it costs that local restaurant chain to do it versus how much, you know, publicity, how much earned media they got out of it. It strikes me as probably a win-win for them.
You know, I grew up going to George Webb's. That was like a real high school hangout for us, just having somewhere to go. And I always enjoy a reason to go back and enjoy some George Webb's. That's for sure.
Good. Well, we'll be certainly hoping for the best for tonight here again. 8:05 pregame begins, Brewers versus the Mariners. We can say with a high amount of confidence that we have no breaking news. At no point has the governor's office called you or called me this morning with a heads up. So we continue to be on Evers' watch on whether he's running for a third term or not. I've enjoyed watching the rumor mill be wrong in both ways, saying, oh, he's about to announce he's not running. Oh, he's about to announce he is running. No, neither one came.
Well, I have stayed out of that part of the reporting of this. I'm certainly talking to people and trying to learn more about what's going on, but I have not reported anything either way about when the governor is making a decision, what decision he might be making. I have some inklings about where these things are going to go, and obviously you know where I stand on this. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, for whatever it's worth, I think Tony Evers has earned the right to make this decision on his own time. I think there's a lot of griping about, the decision and what he should do. And obviously I have said multiple times online and on the airwaves that I think Evers should not run for a third term. But I also think that he has earned every right to make this decision on his own time. And if he needs some extra time to make it, I think he's earned that. There are some consequences of that, right? I think it does mean that just about everything in Wisconsin politics with an eye on 2026 is in a little bit of a holding pattern. We're all just kind of waiting for that decision to be made for then all of the rest of the dominoes to fall.
And based on yesterday's headlines, whatever the governor decides, you can absolutely count that a year from now, Hunter Biden will come up with a new reason as to why that decision was made and ruin everything. So. Good.
What in the world was that interview? Oh my goodness!
What in the world is Hunter Biden? But and it came out on the 1 year anniversary of President Biden deciding not to run, and honestly, nothing has been the same since that day. Well, we can now say officially 366 days later, what a year it's been.
You know? Oh, I know. And that was right on the heels of the RNC in Milwaukee. So I remember being, just exhausted from spending long, long days covering the RNC in Milwaukee for the recombobulation area, finishing that up, having a couple days to decompress, and all of a sudden that news hits on a Sunday afternoon, and all of a sudden we're right back into it. You know, it's one of those moments where you're going to remember where you are when you heard the news. And now I think a year later, I think, you know, look, obviously Harris didn't win, but going from Biden to Harris, I think, saved several Senate seats, including, I think, Tammy Baldwin's for Democrats. I think it prevented a huge Republican majority in the House of Representatives. I think it stemmed the tide of a down ballot disaster. And I think I had been made aware of some polling here in Wisconsin for some, you know, races in the Wisconsin state legislature that were showing that even under new maps, the Republicans were going to be at near supermajority levels if Biden was going to be the guy at the top of the ticket. So I think that, you know, take a look at what happened in the state Senate in the most recent budget process. I don't think any of that happens if Biden stays on the ticket and you know, candidates have to spend so much time going on doors and justifying why Biden is still the candidate and all of that. And I think, you know, Harris and her campaign, there are things that I liked about it. There are things that I didn't like about it. But ultimately, I think she gave it a fighting chance, gave the Democrats a fighting chance to win the White House in the 107 days that she had the opportunity to do so. So I don't really have a lot of good things to say about Joe Biden or his family members who are trying to come out and justify the insanity of trying to run a campaign based on honesty and integrity while asking people to deny the evidence of their eyes and ears.
You mentioned the prospect of new maps, and new maps are something we're going to continue talking about in Wisconsin, even though we're in mid-decade. Because, as noted in your most recent newsletter, the independent redistricting effort begins anew in Wisconsin. Inside the effort to bring a long-term, permanent solution for redistricting reform in Wisconsin. Tell us about the column.
Yeah, so I was writing this piece over the last couple of weeks here and got a chance to talk to a number of folks who have long been involved in the Fair Maps movement in Wisconsin and are kind of beginning the latest effort anew. And last year, when Tony Evers signed new maps into law in February of 2024, I think that was a momentous achievement for the state of being out from under a decade of the most egregious partisan gerrymander for any state legislature in the country and moving towards a better, newer, fairer maps that were initiated by this remedial maps process that came through the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Huge achievement, but not a long-term one. It's a short-term fix to the problem of unconstitutional maps. And 2030 is, you know, just a few years away, and we're going to be back at square one without an actual legislative change to reform the way the state operates its redistricting process. And so I talked to people with Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Fair Maps Coalition and the League of Women's Voters and a number of volunteers who have been meeting for hours every week to talk about and hone this plan to try to get a quote-unquote Wisconsin model for independent redistricting in the state. And I think the plan that they have come up with is a pretty compelling one. And right now it is what is happening. It is kind of coming from the behind the scenes, you know, crafting the proposal, crafting the process stage to really bringing it to the public. So they've held a number of public events about this proposal over the past few weeks. I believe they had ones in Wausau and Green Bay and Dodgeville and Whitefish Bay, just north of Milwaukee. And so I think they're eyeing to have more of these in the coming months and eventually have a proposal that will bring legislation creating an independent redistricting commission for the state of Wisconsin that would oversee the redistricting process every 10 years. And then it would also include a push for a constitutional amendment to change to amend the state constitution to say that it is not the legislators themselves who are drawing the maps, who have oversight over the redistricting process. You know, kind of the old adage of the voters should pick their leaders, not the other way around.
So in a reminder that, again, I am just a humble former legislator who was ahead of my time. I recall in 2010 that another freshman state senator and I, approached leadership and said, look, 2010 is going to be a tough year. And we want to run on a reform platform that includes an independent redistricting commission. We think we'd get a lot of mileage with voters out of saying, you know, let's take the map drawing out of the politicians' hands. And we were met with an expletive and said, no, 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 we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps. And I think we know how well that worked out. And so here we are 15 years later, still talking about the need for an independent redistricting commission in Wisconsin that, again, I'm glad they're starting as early as they are because we don't know the results of the 2026 election, but they need to be ready come January of 2027, try to put together, you know, enough of a bipartisan coalition where the party leaders from one or both parties don't go, well, blank that, we're going to win and we're going to draw the maps.
Yeah, and the goal for this is to have bipartisan support, and it is very purposefully not being crafted in partnership with any lawmakers from either major political party in Wisconsin. I think some of the people that I talked to for this are a little bit more skeptical of Democrats' motivations in the Fair Maps movement after some wanted to wait and have the courts draw the maps during the remedial maps process last year, instead of having the governor sign the maps that he himself proposed. So I think some were waiting for a slightly more advantageous map for Democrats. And I think some people, some of these pro-democracy advocates and Fair Maps activists were saying, wait a minute there. That's not really what we're here about. That's not what our priorities and principles are. And so I think there are some people in that space who are wanting to say, you know, we don't want either party to have the opportunity to gerrymander maps ever in Wisconsin. Again, we saw how it decimated the state's politics in so many ways. And so regardless of which party would be in power in 2030, the effort here is to get that power out of the power to draw the maps out of the politicians' hands.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation Area. You can sign up for his newsletter, therecombobulationarea.news. And, of course, he's the political editor here at Civic Media as well. We talked about it being it's quiet here while we wait for the governor to make his announcement. Do you feel, maybe you have the list right next to you, you know, that if the governor announces he's not running and the list of potential candidates, can you imagine how many phone calls are going to be made within like the first 5 minutes of that announcement? And I really am concerned that some of these folks, their phones might actually catch fire because so many calls are going to be coming into them going, do you have something to say? And we should know better. There's nobody that's going to announce within 5 minutes of the governor's announcement that they're running, even though we all want to be the first one to get somebody saying that they're running. So course, I guess we're just tempering expectations, I guess, is what I'm doing here.
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, there are a lot of careers riding on what the decision the governor makes, right? I think we've gone through the list, I think, on this show or others a couple different times about who the group of candidates might be to run for governor. But it's certainly going to be a busy time as soon as Evers makes that decision. And that's not to say, like, what the other implications of that might be, what, you know, races for attorney general or secretary of state, depending on who might be running. And I think there are, you know, the domino effect of this is going to be pretty profound, regardless of what way this goes for the governor, especially if he decides not to seek a third term. There are going to be a lot of changes in Democratic politics in Wisconsin. And once again, I will reiterate, I think that's a good thing.
And I will let folks know that unlike back in 2018, there we do not go into this with a prohibitive favorite. Again, Governor, then Tony Evers, not the governor, the state superintendent, took his time making a decision to run. And in that time, 10 to 12 other Democrats got into the race, knowing full well that if Evers decided, well, maybe I'm going to run after all, he instantly became the prohibitive favorite and emerged from that primary. But nobody knew until they did. All these other candidates got in. So once again, all these years later, we've got a waiting game coming up for Tony Evers. A local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, talking with Dan Schaefer. And remember, you can follow us all the time at upnorthnewswi.com and right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Coming up at 9 o'clock, of course, Matt Nair on air with Jane Matinair and Greg Bach here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Todd Albo will be joining them at 9:30. Dan Schaefer joins us right now, and I'm looking at some of the headlines of the past few days, and of course there was a lot said about the Coldplay concert at Camp Randall Stadium the other night, which had much less drama than the Coldplay concert, you know, a couple of nights earlier there in Massachusetts.
I wasn't at the show. Were there any CEOs at the show in Madison maybe got themselves in trouble? No John Menard sightings or anything like that?
None that were doing anything untoward, I'm happy to say. No. But I did ask, I was asking folks yesterday, and I thought maybe I'd ask you from a Milwaukee standpoint, you know, favorite concerts of, you know, people who'd been to Camp Randall for concerts. I mean, Kristen Lyerly had seen the Rolling Stones there many, many years ago. There have been concerts, you know, at American Family Field, Miller Park before that. Anything stick out to you in terms of, you know, those kinds of stadium concert venues, you know, outside of, say, the Summerfest grounds?
Outside of the Summerfest grounds. Well, I was thinking, I saw Paul McCartney at what was the Marcus Amphitheater. That's obviously a memorable one for me. I was at a concert last year at American Family Field. I saw, I'm a big 90s alternative rock guy. And so I saw Green Day and the Smashing Pumpkins at American Family Field last summer. That was a really fun one.
How was it? Did you... because again, with stadiums, you know, they're not necessarily built for that kind of sound, but maybe things are better now than they used to be. Did you enjoy it?
It was good. It was a little weird because we had, you know, when you're buying your seats, you're thinking about just like the way you buy seats for a baseball game. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden it's just like, oh, the stage is out in the outfield. I mm-hmm. thought they maybe would be, you know, plop it right on top of second base or something like that. That wasn't the case. So we were a little bit further away from the stage than we had anticipated, but we still had a good time.
Okay. Let's bring up the conversation that Dr. Lyerly and I were having yesterday about primary elections, because, again, whatever the governor decides, there are races that already are shaping up to have primaries. On the Democratic side, of course, there's the 3rd Congressional District. It looks like the 17th State Senate District in southwest Wisconsin, perhaps the 5th Senate District over there in the Milwaukee suburbs. And that there are these campaign committees, you know, the ADCC for Assembly Democrats, the SSDC for State Senate Democrats, the Republicans have theirs, and so forth and so on. And then there's this whole discussion of whether the party is like anointing a favorite candidate to try to, you know, put their thumb on the scales for a primary. The thrust of our discussion yesterday, which I think probably cheesed off everybody to one degree or another, is that primaries aren't inherently good or bad, but they sure can be handled poorly.
That's for sure. They can be handled poorly. But I think, you know, I think obviously there's like two sides to this, right? I think the people, especially fundraisers, largely want to avoid having a primary that gives them a longer runway to ramp up for the general election. And I think on the other side, I think there is Democrats have avoided primaries to their detriment, I think, in certain cases, because I do think there is this iron sharpens iron type of quality of honing your message, being challenged, and that improving your candidacy and your campaign in the process of a primary. Now, I will say that I think Wisconsin's primary timing makes things rather challenging. Mm-hmm. And I think if we moved the primary from that August date to the April spring election, like we have for presidential primaries, I think that would solve a lot of these problems. Because I think that if you have a candidate for the general election in April, then you give, you know, a full 6 months or more to get that general election campaign. If it's just after August, you know, it's pretty much a sprint from August through November. And I think we saw that in the 2022 Senate election, where Mandela Barnes, you know, all the candidates dropped out like right before the actual primary. And then I feel like the Barnes campaign seemed a little bit flat-footed when it came to responding to some of the attacks that seemed inevitable from the Johnson campaign and some of that stuff in late August and early September. And they just were kind of put themselves in a hole that they weren't quite able to get all the way back out of. So I think the timing of Wisconsin's primary does make it challenging. But I am generally more open or pro primary, I guess, in these conversations. But I think you're right that, you know, these organizations have a job to do. And you know, I don't think it's necessarily bad on their part to back a certain candidate either.
No. And again, it doesn't mean anointed, but it certainly does mean access to resources. But they give them that access to resources because they see something in them that they think has potential. For my money, and again, I don't know that there's any one right answer, but I have a daughter living in Texas, and they just space everything 6 months apart. So you have a May primary and a November general. You have your partisan races in the even-numbered years, your nonpartisan races in the odd-numbered years. So literally every 6 months there is an election in Texas. But at least it's consistent. It's not of this, when's the primary again, and what are we voting on again? I mean, you just know every May and November you're going to be asked to choose for these races. Now, I've seen the responses to our question of the week, and there's a whole lot of people that want much shorter campaigns. I think we all want that, but it's not necessarily the healthiest thing to have if a campaign is too short, right?
Right. And I think, you know, you need time to get your message out there. You need time to talk to voters and connect with people and all of that. I certainly, you know, would like campaigns to be shorter as well. And I think there are some systemic reforms that can be undertaken to address that. But we also have to recognize reality. People, this is the reality of campaigning in America in the 2020s. Until we have some sort of systemic reform, which seemed out of reach in the early years of the Biden administration when they tried to address some of these voting rights issues. Mm-hmm. I think this is the system we've got right now. So these are the boundaries in which we've got to play on the field here.
These are indeed. Sign up for Dan Schaefer's newsletter at therecombobulationarea.news. Dan, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Mr. Kreitlow. Be well.
All right. And thanks to all of you for being part of our mornings here as well, powered by Up North News. Follow what we do at upnorthnewswi.com and on social media. And right here, mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. See you back here 6 a.m. tomorrow here up north.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he hopes to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell to see if she believes anyone else should be prosecuted in the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell is serving a 20-year prison sentence, convicted of sex trafficking. The family of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. disappointed with the administration for releasing 240,000 pages of records related to MLK's assassination.
King's children strongly opposed the release, saying in a statement, "We ask those who engage with the release of these files to do so with empathy, restraint, and respect for our family's continuing grief." Daughter Bernice King later posting, "Now, do the Epstein files."
ABC's Mary Bruce. More questions about air safety and what exactly